It's interesting. Amber's children's message directly goes right into my sermon topic today. I find that more often that it's not that, or it's that case rather than it's not. If God is doing the directing, it kind of all flows together. As I've said, I'm a little bit muddled, so I want to do what I'm supposed to do before I get started, or I will forget it completely. Next week, Tom Showalter will be here. I have to admit, I am very anxious to be here so that I can see how he fits up to this podium. Because it's a little bit of a stretch for me. I know it's going to be for him. But so next week, Tom Showalter, our general superintendent, will be here to speak and share with us, and look forward to that. And before I start with my message, would you join me in prayer? Lord, as I come before you today, you know my mind is a little muddy. You know my heart's strung in 100 different places. Quiet my mind and my soul. Help me, Lord, to deliver the message you have prepared, not the one that I have. Lord, give me the words that you would have me speak. Let me speak truthfully and honestly from your word. And Lord, let it be a blessing to those who hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my boss's second daughter, he has four of them, which, believe me, I cannot imagine that, is getting married in a few weeks. Her name's Abby Schindel, and frankly, as she works in the office, you can imagine she has got a lot of advice. Some of it pretty good. Some of it not so good. But it's funny. And I think, you know, as we were talking about marriage and getting together and all this stuff, it caused me to reflect on the marriage and what it is supposed to be and what it really is. And I think sometimes we know what it's supposed to be like, and yet it doesn't seem to always work out the way it should, or way we expected it anyway. And I do have to tell you a story of a very dear, sweet lady. This is a true story from a lady in Marshalltown who was celebrating her 50th wedding anniversary. And they were having a celebration at the church, and one of the younger ladies came up to her and goes, "Dear, in 50 years, did you ever once consider divorce?" And the lady paused and thought about it for a moment. She goes, No, I never really ever thought about divorce. I considered murdering him on many occasions." You know, there's funny in that, but there's some truth in that. She took that oath, "till death do us part," very seriously. And I think, to some degree, we've lost a little bit of that in the modern marriage and what it means and what it doesn't mean. And I want to read to you, and I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, Revelations 19, verses 6 through 9. And it says, "Then I heard what seemed to be a voice of the great multitude, like a roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunders, crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted for her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" If you know what I'm reading, it's about something that's going to happen one of these days. It's called the marriage of the Lamb. It's going to be our marriage. We are considered to be the bride of Christ, the church. He is the bridegroom. So the fact that marriage is an analogy or a metaphor for our relationship with Jesus Christ, perhaps it's no surprise today that marriage is being attacked in so many different ways. If you go out into the world and you ask a person what marriage is or what it is not, you are likely to find many, many different views. In fact, you will find people who have completely opposite views of what marriage is or is not. I do not believe this is accidental, because from Adam and Eve, and I love to share this whenever I do a wedding, the first officiated wedding in the world was Adam and Eve, and God was the pastor. It's a great honor to be a pastor and to be able to continue in that thing. We are in a situation that God designed. And that design is meant to show us what our relationship with Christ should look like. So it is no accident that Satan is going to try and completely change the description of marriage, the description of what a marriage should look like, or what it is, or what it is not. Because if he can bless, or if he can blunder that image of marriage, then he can certainly mess us up with our relationship with Christ. He certainly knows how we will not understand the marriage of the Lamb if we don't understand the marriage of ourselves to our spouses. There's an older couple that had just gone to a niece's wedding, and the lady was sitting there reminiscing about the wedding and the ceremony and all this, and she goes, "You know, it's a shame." She says, "There used to be in the vows that promise to obey." And she goes, "It doesn't seem like they're in that service that much anymore. They've left that out." Her husband nodded and goes, "Yeah, I know what you're saying." He says, "I kind of missed that too. It always added a little bit of humor to the service." It is a little bit like that now. We are, and I think maybe using a little humor, we can look at this and see if there is a little bit of it that may apply to us, which unfortunately, in any situation, the Bible has something that applies to us. I'd like to think that there's going to be a day where I reach a plateau where I get there. I've got it. I got it all figured out and I'm there. The truth of it is, I've talked to people much older than me and I found out it isn't going to happen. I'll get there when I get to heaven. Until then, I'm a work in progress, as we all are. And I'll be honest with you, I frankly am a bigger work in progress than many of you. And I often say that one of the reasons, and Matt may disagree with me on this, but I think that one reason God calls a certain people to the ministry is that some of those are so used to goofing up and being taught the right way that we can teach that lesson so many different ways because God has had to teach it to us so many different ways. And it's probably true of me. When I was getting married, Laura was doing all the planning, which is not uncommon. And she'd often come to me and she'd go, "Well, what do you think about this color? What do you think about those flowers?" And I'm, whatever. You know, and it's kind of a guy thing. But the truth of the matter is, I didn't really care. I'm getting married, that much I cared about, but the rest of that, all that stuff, no thanks. You figure it out, you do whatever makes you happy, perfectly fine with me. I'm just okay with that. It's probably a good thing Laura didn't figure that out, because I might not have been wearing a tuxedo. I might have been wearing a horse's behind costume. And luckily, she didn't figure it out, and so I got to wear the tuxedo. But that attitude of complacency, of whatever works, you know, doesn't work in a Christian marriage either. If I go to the Lord and he says, "Rick, there's problems out here," and I go, "Yeah, Lord, there's poor people. Whatever you want to do with them, Lord, just fine with me. You know, I'm cool. Whatever you want to do, Lord, just do it." God's not going to like that attitude. And just like I might have run the risk of wearing a horse's behind costume at my original wedding, I don't want to end up in heaven wearing one. Being complacent about God's desires on this earth is not a good thing to be. A Christian should have the heart of Christ. The things that bother Jesus should bother me. And how do I know what things bother Jesus? Open the book and read. The Gospels are full of things that Jesus was not very happy about. And one of the things he wasn't very happy about is people that sit in churches a lot and don't do much except pronounce how good they are or how wonderful they are or how much better they are than those folks over there. And I think there's a danger in that. I don't want to be a complacent Christian. I don't want to be a complacent bride to Christ. If I am, I may run the risk. One of the scariest verses, and I've addressed this verse I don't know how many times, and I keep coming back to it because I can't escape it. But Matthew 7 talks about people coming before God at the end of days and going, Lord, Lord, look at what I did. I prophesied. I did this. I did that. I did wonderful things. And these people actually have done more better things than I have. More better? Good English. They literally make me look pretty poor. But Christ has a response for him that just does not fit with me, and it just sits in my gall, and I wonder, am I at risk? Because his response is, away from me, I never knew you. Now, they called him Lord. They obviously thought they knew him. And yet Jesus said, I never knew you. It's a little bit like, imagine your spouse and you getting married. It's a wonderful service. The service is over. Everybody's congratulating you. And your spouse turns to you and says, hey, that was wonderful. See you on Sunday. Unless, of course, it's sunshiny and then I'm probably going to play golf. It's not going to last, is it? It doesn't last in a physical human marriage. Why do I expect it will last in a Christ marriage? Why do I expect Jesus to say, well, whenever you're here, I really love it. But if you're not really wanting to pray, if you're not really wanting to read my Bible, that's okay. You know, I'm cool with whatever time you give me. I don't know any spouse that would be happy with that in a marriage. Why do I accept Jesus would want it? Why would I think that Jesus would accept that? The truth is, he doesn't. The truth is, he won't. To be married is a commitment. To be married is a change of life. I've always been interested when I talk to women who are married, and they will say, I have now been married longer as a married name than I was as a single, in my maiden name. And I always thought that was a unique difference, and I guess it struck me, and it always has stuck with me. Because that woman is stating that my life changed that day when I became married. I was no longer the same person that I was the day before. Not only did my name change, my life changed. And if I am a Christian, will not my life change the day I accept Christ? Will it not be a different circumstance than the day before? My goals, my hopes, my dreams, all will change with that marriage. There will be new responsibilities. There will be children. There will be other issues that will suddenly become much more important than what was before when I was single. That marriage changes everything. If it doesn't, it's not a marriage. So, when I accept Jesus Christ, I am accepting a different life, a new life, a life that is supposed to change. It is supposed to be different. It is supposed to make a difference in my life. I will not be the same person, and I certainly haven't. I'm getting ready to celebrate a 37th anniversary in June. 37 years. I thought Laura would get smarter by now, but she hasn't. And I'm grateful for that. But 37 years, there's been a lot of change. And some of you have known me that long and know there's been a lot of change. And there's a few of you going, and there's still a lot more change that needs to happen, Rick. Which is true. I'm not dead yet, so there will be change coming. But the truth of it is, a marriage means change. It means transition. It means growth. It means coming together closer every day. For those of you who have been married a long time, you know you can be married to someone for many, many, many years and still occasionally go, I never knew that. Where did that come from? And I think it's kind of neat. Otherwise, it might get a little boring after 30-some years. If that spouse doesn't occasionally surprise me, challenge me, and do things that honestly some days makes me wonder. I'm not sure it's a good marriage. It's supposed to be a changing relationship, a growing and a learning relationship. And be honest with you, exactly what our relationship with Jesus Christ is. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, He created a perfect image of marriage. One man, one woman, committed for life, committed to each other. They didn't have a lot of other options. There weren't a lot of other temptations around. And so, in some ways, you might say they had it a little easier than we do. They had a pure sense of what it was supposed to look like. And yet, I would argue that they still had the same challenges. I almost brought a video about the first argument, and it's a humorous one off Right Now Video, and if you ever want to just get a humorous one, they've got some humorous videos on there, and it's called The First Argument. It's a little video about Adam and Eve and their first argument. It's hilarious, but it's the truth of relationship. Marriage is never easy. Anybody who says, I went through my whole married life and we never had a problem, wasn't in truth married. It doesn't happen that way. Marriage is hard. Marriage is work. I don't know how you tell that to someone who's about to go into it and say, gee whiz, you know, this looks like fun, it looks like wonderful, and everything's warm and fuzzy, and you don't, just the euphoric, you right now, you can't see this as anything but beautiful. And be honest with you, it is beautiful. God designed it to be both beautiful, but also difficult. He designed it to be stretching and comforting at the same time. In the same way, our relationship with Him will stretch us. But in the same way, He will comfort me. This last week, I have been comforted more by the prayers and the presence of God than probably any other time in my life. I have felt His presence in that room waiting for that surgery to end. I know the comfort of God, the peace of God, that can only come through a deep and long relationship. I couldn't develop that kind of relationship in a couple of weeks. I didn't have the ability to have that kind of relationship with Him 40-some years ago when I became a Christian. He was there. He was the same God. But I did not have the relationship with Him that I have now. It's a growing thing. It's meant to be a growing thing. We are not meant to stand still. You know, if we look at things from a Christ-like perspective, and if we applied the marriage of the Lamb to the marriage of human beings, maybe we'd have fewer divorces. And maybe there would be fewer problems in the marriage. There was a young couple that was traveling. They were out of state, and they'd been going together for some time, and they decided they were going to get married. Just seemed like the right time to do it. So being from out of state, they went to local people and says, where's the courthouse? And got directions to the place, and they went up to the courthouse and got directions to get the marriage license. And somehow, they got the wrong directions. And instead of going to the marriage license office, they walked into the hunting office. And they walked in and says, we're from out of state, and we'd like to get a license. And the guy looks at him funny and says, well, if you're out of state, I can't give you a license, but I can give you a 3-day permit. You know, with some of us, we might be happy with that 3-day permit. I want Jesus for my fire insurance. I want to make sure I'm not going to hell. I'd like that. I want Him to be there for when things are tough. I love it for the fact that, you know, I got prayer support and I got people supporting me in whatever ways. I love all that. But I don't want the change that comes with it. I don't want to be challenged in areas that I don't want to be challenged. I don't want to hear somebody saying, you know, Rick, this is an area you could grow in. You know, this is an area you need to grow in. I don't want to hear that. I want that 3-day permit. Let's just keep it simple, Lord. Except, you all know, marriage is not simple. And it doesn't just come in three-day permits. It comes in a lifelong commitment. If I'm not willing to commit to Christ for all of my life, will I be happy for all eternity with Him? I heard an honest and interesting statement, and I've used it a couple times, but it's like if you go into a church and there's an usher at the front back room, and there's two rooms. Inside one, there's people praying and praising God, and they're worshiping, and they're just having a great old time. And in the other room, there's coffee and donuts, and they're talking politics and farming, and they're talking just all sorts of things. And for me, it'd be guns. But they're in the back there, and they're having a good time, and those are good donuts, by the way. Which room am I going into? Which room am I going to feel the most comfortable in? You know, that's a question I need to ask myself. Because eternity is going to be spent worshiping God. If I get a little tired when the sermon gets a little long, and that never happens, right, Matt? Or if I get a little, I don't know, uncomfortable when the praise songs start to sound a little strange, or those hymns get a little old, if I don't like certain things, how comfortable am I going to be in eternity? Because this isn't a 20-minute service. We're talking the rest of time. It challenges me to wonder, how committed to my marriage to Christ am I? How committed to that marriage am I? And when Revelation 19 appears, and the wedding of the Lamb is of there, will I be there rejoicing? Or will I find a good excuse to miss that service? Because frankly, there's donuts in the other room. Friend, marriage is a wonderful thing. Most importantly, it's the unity of a man and a woman together for life. But it is also that metaphor for our relationship with Jesus Christ. Do not confuse the world's view of marriage with God's view. It's a dangerous game to play. And that's what I have for you today.